The following is a class on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 38, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 11th, 2008, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
Bhagavad Gita 4:38. Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, there's one thing for sure. Everybody's looking for happiness. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to taste bliss at every minute? Is there any exceptions to this principle? Is there anybody here who doesn't want to taste the nectar at every minute? Is there anybody here who would like to drink poison right now? If I gave you a cup of poison right now, would you want to drink it? Any volunteers? No. Nobody wants poison. Everybody wants to taste the nectar. So, Krishna is describing here where the real nectar is, you see. So why are so few people taking this nectar? Why is it that 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 Does anyone know the answer? It is simply due to ignorance. In the United States history, there's a famous period called the 1849 California Gold Rush. In 1849, somebody discovered gold in California. So there was a mad rush all over from the east. California was way, way across the big wilderness in the middle, but people, thousands of people streamed into California to get that gold, you see. And many people thought they had found gold. But they went, when they went to cash it in, they found out it was worthless.
И открили злато, но когато ти шли да да го продадат, за да вземат пари, се оказва, че то няма... не е така ценно.
It was iron pyrite, it wasn't gold. Iron pyrite looks like gold.
Това не е било злато, всъщност това е било някакъв вид железен пирит, който изглежда като злато.
But it's not real gold, you see. So here in this material world, you see, here in Sofia, Bulgaria, everybody wants gold. But practically everyone here is getting iron pyrite instead. They used to call iron pyrite fool's gold. The fool thinks he has gold, you see. But it is not actual gold, it is fool's gold only. So if you ask people in Sofia, are you happy? Practically everyone would say, oh yes, I'm happy. I've got the gold. What do they actually have? Fool's gold. Fool's happiness. They don't have the real happiness. You see, and what is that fool's happiness? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That is called fool's happiness. You see? Shvavidra ushtra karai sangstutak purushak pushu. You see, they're like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Svinya, sabaka, sabaka, svinya, verblut, and ashyol. You see, that's the only Russian words I know. I'm preaching in Russia also now. But I just it's too hard to learn the language. I just learned a few words. So, this is the great difficulty here in Sofia. The great difficulty here in this material existence. If you give the fool the real happiness, he'll say no. I want the false happiness instead. If you give the hog halava in one hand and stool in the other, what will he take? If you try this experiment, take halava in one hand and stool in the other if you dare. Stool in the left hand, of course. And offer them to the pig and see which one he goes for, the stool or the halava. So this is the difficulty. Instead of going for the halava, we are going for the stool. Isn't it embarrassing? Don't you feel embarrassed that you're going for stool instead of halava? I mean, it's really embarrassing to be, you know, a hog when you're actually an eternal spiritual being. By bad association, to be dragged down to the mentality of a hog. What an embarrassment. But don't feel bad. We're all in the same boat. We're all eternal spiritual beings who were dragged down to the level of hog. By bad association. Nobody's trying to put you down. We're not trying to criticize you or make fun of you. We're just looking at the position that each and every one of us is in right now. That's all we're doing. There was even a governor in Texas called I'm a Hog. That was the name of the governor. Hog is a last name, and Ima is a woman's name in America. Ima. It's an old early days of America. Ima was an American lady, a name for an American lady. Ima. So Ima Hog. She was the governor of Texas.
Губернаторът на Тексас имал такъв губернатор, който се казва Аз съм свиня. Айма му е първото име, което означава Аз съм, едно древно, такова старо американско име, а Хок му е фамилията. И буквално името му означава Аз съм свиня.
Буквално превод на името на губернатора на Тексас бил Аз съм свиня.
So that's where we're all at right now. I'm a hog. That's where Indra was at too. He was the king of heaven. But he was offensive. I think he was offensive towards a sage. He got cursed by a sage, you see. Instead of thinking I am Indra, he thought, I'm a hog. Where's the stool? Where's the she-hog? You see, the hog, he has no discrimination in eating or sleeping or mating, no discrimination. I have personally seen in Vrindavan the hog lying down in the still water in a state of bliss. Ah, this is the life. I got a photograph of it, actually. In Vrindavan, they have open sewers. When you pass stool in your house, it comes out into a little open ditch on the side of the road. Instead of underground sewage, they have on the earth's surface. And therefore, in Vrindavan, there's a huge population of hogs. We call them the sanitation engineers. They go into the open sewage and eat the stool, you see. So I saw this one hog. After he had had a nice morning of eating stool, he decided in midday, he laid down in the stool and urine water and took a nap. He was in hog heaven, you see. In the stool and urine water. So, this is our happiness of material existence, our hog heaven, you see, stool and urine water. Any human being, if he sees such a thing, you say, oh, flush it immediately, get it out of here, you see. But the hog, you say, no, no, don't flush it, save it for me. Isn't it gross? But that's our position in the material existence. Instead of wanting to flush away this eating, sleeping, making, and defending, we say, no, save it for me, I want some. We forget where the real nectar is. Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And we try to squeeze juice out of this eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Therefore, Krishna, feeling very sorry for our plight, he comes again and again to deliver us. Yada yada hi dhanamasha glanir bhavati bharata Abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shijamyaham. Krishna come to deliver us. Personally he comes. He sends his pure devotees also. He sends the spiritual master to save us. So we have to learn how to take advantage of Guru and Vaishnavas. Who have come to save us from our predicament. If we don't appreciate them, then we will remain stuck in our stool and urine consciousness. But if we take advantage of the kindness, the loving kindness of Krishna, Guru and Vaishnavas, then we will come out of our stool and urine consciousness. And taste the sweet nectar of Krishna consciousness at every minute. But I can tell you one thing. To give up this stool and urine consciousness and come to Krishna consciousness, you have to be a brave soul. If there's a community of hogs and one hog wants to give up his hog existence and come to a higher consciousness, what will the other hog say? Will they say, oh, very good, you want to become liberated from hog life, congratulations. Will they say that? No, they say, don't believe those Hare Krishnas, they're a brainwashed cult. Don't you dare listen to them. You stay here with us and eat stool. Remain a hog along with us. How many of you have been encouraged by your friends and family members to be devotees? And how many of you have been discouraged by your friends and family members to be devotees? The hogs don't want if one hog becomes liberated. It's very uncomfortable for them to think that maybe I made a mistake by being a hog. You know what they say in English? They say, misery enjoys company. So they want you to remain as a hog in the company of hogs. So they can feel a little comfort in your association. But are you giving them real comfort if you remain a hog? No, you're not. You're simply reinforcing their ignorance. Therefore, if one actually has compassion upon the poor hog-like population of this planet, one should cast off the hog consciousness. Become Krishna conscious. Actually, Prabhupada said, Messiah. He says, every member of this movement, he is a Messiah. Anyone who actually takes this process with full seriousness, he is Messiah. He is the savior of the suffering humanity, you see. Any devotee. Man, woman, adult, child, it doesn't matter. Anyone who seriously takes this pathway, he is Messiah. It's like the Christians, they say Jesus is Messiah, he's Savior. So any person who takes this Krishna consciousness movement with complete seriousness, he is also Messiah, he is Savior of this humanity. So we're asking you, don't be hogs. You become messiahs. You become saviors of the suffering humanity. And taste the bliss of giving bliss to everyone. Taste the bliss of being selfless servitors of everyone. This is the request of the great acharyas to us, hog-like souls. Come out of your hog consciousness and become actual messiahs. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Why don't you ask me in English and he can translate it? Well, you can say it both. You can say to the audience the question and say it to me in English. Yeah. He doesn't need to translate it. You can just say it in... Unless there's three languages here. Is there three? There's only two languages, Bulgarian and English, right?
How many languages?
Is there a third language?
No.
Okay. And you can just ask the question in Bulgarian and then ask it to me in English. Yeah.
The въпрос е, че нали, хората ще кажат, добре, как така без ядене спане и самозащите и размножаване, нали, в крайна сметка най-малкото поне друго, поне трябва да ядем. Така че това въпрос е малко типа Арджуна, нали, обаче нали, каква алтернатива даваме ние на това. So my question is that people would say, okay, what will we do if we live behind eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? And at least we should eat something. So
We give them prasadam. Yes.
Yeah. So what is our alternative?
Instead of eating like hog, eating food not offered to Krishna, you take prasadam. We don't stop eating, but you transcendentalize your eating. Instead of indiscriminately having sex in so many different ways, like they have sex in this way, that way, you know, a million and one different ways trying to enjoy, just have sex for having Krishna conscious children, that's all.
Вместо да правим непозволен секс, както правят всички останали, ние правим секс в Кришна съзнание, за да се дадат Кришна осъзнати деца.
And instead of sleeping 26 hours a day, just take what you need to keep your body fit. That's all. And then, if in this way, if you're satisfied, then your defense will be, you can defend your Krishna consciousness. That's all you have to defend, really, is your Krishna consciousness. You don't have to defend your false sense of proprietorship. So in this way, you can eat, sleep, mate, and defend in a transcendental way.
Yeah.
Next question.
Това явно не може да стане с магическа пръчка. прасето и да го изкъпеш и да го сложиш в цирка, то може да научи някакви неща, но природата му остава. Тоест, това е, с две думи, това е много дълъг процес. И като човек върви по пътя на този процес, неминуемо се случват грешки. Иска да достигне съвършенство, но това не може да стане веднага. Какво да правим? Търпение.
It's a long process. One cannot do it for one night with a magic ball. What do we need? Patience, maybe?
Yes.
Da.
But not too much patience. You must have patience and you must also have determination and enthusiasm. You should be impatient also. That I should not postpone my Krishna consciousness. Death can come at any time, isn't it? Today in the airplane I was a little surprised. I'd never seen this happen before. I've been flying for years. We were over the mountains, flying over the Alps, and an airplane came right under us. I looked out the window and an airplane just came right under the window. That way. I mean, it had crossed right under us. I mean, right. I looked out the window, right under there was an airplane. Zoom. I was going, wow, what happened if they had been a little bit higher? We would have had a mid-air collision, you know, over the Alps. And I was thinking, thank you, Krishna. Thank you that I'm still alive here, so that I can at least have one more day to preach your glories in this world. This world is desperately in need of Krishna consciousness. And my dear Lord, you've so kindly given me one more opportunity to preach your glories, you see. So we have to realize that time is limited. At any minute, everything can be finished. So we have to be in the. We have to maximize our Krishna consciousness as much as possible at every minute. So that when death comes knocking at our door, we will not be defeated. That we can step on the head of death like Dhruva. Okay, death, now I will use you in the service of Krishna. So don't be too patient. You should be very impatient about those things which are standing in the way of your Krishna consciousness. Whatever bad habits you may have, you should be very impatient about them. If you have some bad habit, you should say, get out. You're not welcome here in my house, the house of my heart anymore. Get out and don't ever come back. Patient means, even if I don't see Krishna face to face, eye to eye in the next 10 minutes, I still don't give up chanting. That's what patient means. But patient does not mean that I will patiently go on doing nonsense. Yes.
Yeah.
question is how is possible to be in the mood of Messiah and in the same time to be in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant?
Yes, this is a very good question. The answer is given by Srila Rupa Goswami. It is described by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar Devotion. Rupa Goswami says, I am trying to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. That is Messiah consciousness, you see. And then he says, but at the same time, I feel completely unfit to do so. That means he's thinking, well, I'm not really anything but the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That's what I really am. So one should utilize his full energy to try to spread this movement. That's a fact. Preaching, going on Harinam, distributing books, making devotees, writing articles, offering arati, cleaning the temple, working hard to make money and donating money to the Krishna consciousness movement. In so many ways, beautiful paintings of Krishna. This is Messiah consciousness, wanting to spread the movement, you see. But at the same time feeling, well, actually, what I am nothing. Simply let me be an instrument in the hands of my Guru Maharaj, that's all. So after Rupa Goswami explains like this, that I am simply trying to spread this movement all over the world, although I feel completely unfit to do so, then Prabhupada said, this should be the attitude of all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. We see that devotees have a hard time balancing those two moods. They think, yes, I am Messiah, but they forgot how to be a humble servant. Those devotees, they may be a big preacher for some time and then they're off in the lap of a prostitute after a while. And we see others who say, well, you know, they become so artificially meek that they can't preach to anybody. They don't want to impose, they don't want to quote, impose, unquote, Krishna consciousness on anyone. So, if you go to either extreme, it's not good. You have to have a proper balance. You have to be enthusiastic to push forward this movement. At the same time, feel you're completely unfit, you're an unqualified nobody. Prabhupada said, next to my Guru Maharaj, I am nothing. So every devotee should feel, I am nothing. My spiritual master is everything and I am nothing.
Гуру Махараджа, всичко аз съм нищо.
But let me be his instrument. Let me be totally surrendered to him as his instrument so that through me he can spread this Krishna consciousness movement.
Но нека да бъда някакъв инструмент, така че чрез мен той да разпространява това движение за Кришна съзнание.
Just as Arjuna was an instrument for Krishna to defeat the Kuru dynasty. Every devotee should be an instrument in the hands of the previous acharyas for pushing forward this movement. That let the previous acharyas utilize me for pushing forward this movement. I'm fully surrendered to their will just like puppet. May they utilize me for pushing forward this movement. This is the proper move. But one should desire to take that position of preacher. Why? Idam, let's see. Ya idam paramam guhyam mad bhaktesha vidhashyati bhaktim mai parankrit va mam vaishatya shangshayaha. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service unto me is guaranteed, Krishna says. And at the end, he will come back to me.
Да го правим, защото Кришна казва за този, който разпространява това знание на другите, той неговото Кришна знание е гарантирано и той ще се върне при мен.
Начатасман манушейшу бактим начатасман манушейшу just not forgetting the Sanskrit, but Krishna says in this world there is no servant more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear.
Krishna каза, този свят няма слуга, който да е по-скъп за мен.
So do you want to be dear to Krishna?
Искате да бъдете скъпи на Кришна?
Who would like to be dear to Krishna?
Yes.
One person only. Oh, two, three, four. Very good. Well, Krishna says there's no one more dear to me than one who preaches. So it is not a selfish desire to want to be a preacher. It is simply a desire to please Krishna in the best possible way. It doesn't mean you should become proud. I am a great preacher. I am Messiah. No. I am nothing but a servant of my spiritual master, that's all. But may he utilize me to push forward this movement. May I be fully surrendered to him that he can utilize me to the max for pushing forward this movement. From this very moment until my last dying breath, may I simply be an instrument in the hands of my spiritual master. This is the moon. Humble servant preacher. That is actual Messiah, you see. We want everyone to be like that. Humble servant preachers. Next question.
Наш дълг е да проповядваме по този начин да удовлетворим духовния читър от Кришна, но в лекцията, нали, както се каза, ние проповядваме на хора, за които невежеството е блаженство. И как може да проповядваме на такива хора?
It's our duty to preach, to fulfill our Gurudev, but we have to preach to people who are in ignorance.
Невежеството е блаженство за тези хора.
For them, ignorance is bliss. How can we preach to these people?
Yes, this is a very good question. Thank you very much. They think that ignorance is bliss. If you give them Krishna consciousness, they will think Krishna consciousness is ignorance. And say, what is this nonsense? Krishna consciousness, get out of here. So how will you convince the hog that his hog life is miserable? This is the same thing that happened with Indra, was cursed to become a hog. They came from the heavenly planets to get their king back. I forget who came. Some great personalities came. Maybe Brahma. I forget who. But they came to get Indra back from his hog life. Indra, what are you doing here living as a hog? You are the king of heaven. Why are you here living in this pig pen? He said, what is this heaven? Don't you see I have this stool here? And I have all these female hogs here also. My mother is here, I can have sex with her. My sisters are here, I can have sex with them. You see, the hog has no discrimination for who to have sex with, you see. Simply sex, you see. So he's saying, what are you talking about heaven? I'm in heaven. This is real heaven. They couldn't convince Indra to give it up. But then when the farmer came with the knife to cut the hog's throat, to slaughter him for eating his body, you see, then he came to his senses. I thought the farmer loved me. He gave me so much hog food. But now he's coming to slaughter me to eat my body. I don't know what this heaven is, but I think it must be better than being a hog. I will go back to heaven, whatever it is. So how we would convince these hogs? They're saying, I can have sex with anybody I want. I can smoke anything I want. I can drink anything I want. I can inject anything I want. I can do anything I want. You people are telling me no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication and gambling. You must be... You Hare Krishnas are crazy. You see, that's what they think. So how we convince them? Well, I can tell you this. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shadehina rashavarshang visyo pasya parang vishvanavartate. That's the answer. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. Though the taste for sense gratification remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste. He is what? He is fixed in consciousness. So you simply have to give them the higher taste. And then they'll easily give up the stool and urine. You got to give them the halava. Feed them a lot of halava. You have to give them the higher taste. But there's one catch here. How are you going to give them the higher taste if you don't have the higher taste yourself? That's the catch. You have to give them the higher taste. You see, I can distribute the higher taste because I have it. So if you want to be successful in distributing the higher taste, take the higher taste that I'm giving you, and then you'll be empowered to distribute it. But do you think, what is this so-called higher taste that this character named Sankarshan Das is giving? I don't know. Sounds like a bunch of hype to me. You see, then what do you have? You have nothing. How will you convince them? You yourself are not even convinced. This reminds me, my godbrother Brahmatirtha Prabhu, before he joined this movement, he was a worker for the Peace Corps, the U.S. Peace Corps. He had the good fortune of being stationed by the U.S. Peace Corps in an area known as West Bengal, India. And he came to our temple in Mayapur and visited, and the devotees sent him in for a darshan with Prabhupada. And this boy, Bob Cohen, he asked Prabhupada, he said, "Well, Prabhupada, how can I convince them of Krishna consciousness?" Prabhupada said, "First you be convinced, and then convince others." So I can tell you this insider secret. To the degree that you are convinced, you will be able to convince others. And if you are finding you're not able to convince others, then you should take a very serious, introspective look at your own heart and see how is it that you are lacking in conviction. Look deep inside your heart for those doubts and meditate on Krishna as Madhusudana, the killer of the demons of doubt. You can pray to that Madhusudana, that my dear Lord, please destroy these demons of doubt that are lingering in my heart. To the extent that you are free from doubt, to that extent and only to that extent will you be convinced of Krishna consciousness. And to the extent that you are convinced of Krishna consciousness, Krishna will empower you to convince others. Therefore, read the books and distribute the books. Don't just distribute the books. Read the books. Understand perfectly well this knowledge. Become a living embodiment of what is written in these books. And if you do so, you'll be able to convince the entire world of Krishna consciousness. Next question.
Плоскост и отиват към гибел, включително и тези зонови дупки и други неща, които съществуват. А как да използваме това нещастие в проповядане? Защото в крайна сметка наистина много скоро и тези, които като, айде, не, както каза той, невежеството е блаженството и те няма да могат да го изпитват. Защото светът просто отива и градира. Съвсем градим. Как да използваме проповядането?
People have many doubts, but they are convinced now that the things are not going well nowadays, that the world is in front of big crisis. How to use this point in the process of preaching?
Distributing books. And distribute books as many as possible, saying this material world is not a place of, that we can find true happiness. Read these books. Take this opportunity to flood Bulgaria with Prabhupada's books.
Разпространявайте книги и обясняйте на хората, че този материален свят не е място за щастие, а е място за страдание.
This is a great preaching opportunity, you see.
Това е голяма възможност за проповядване.
Devotees are not depressed by the financial crisis.
Преланите не са депресирани от финансовата криза.
Devotees are enlivened. Wow, this is great. Now it's going to be ten times easier to preach. We've been trying to convince them the material world is miserable, and they didn't believe it because there's a boom economy, you know, boom, 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 boom. You know, like the economy was like a big balloon, you know, bigger, 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 bigger. Wow, they're going, wow, it can just keep being bigger forever. But is there such a thing as a balloon that can keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger forever? Not in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is such a balloon, actually. What is that balloon? Krishna consciousness. It can keep getting bigger and bigger and never stop, you see. In fact, that ever-expanding balloon is confirmed by a great incarnation of the Lord named Rishabhadev. He confirms that Krishna Bhakti is like an ever-expanding balloon. Brahma Saukyam Tvanantam. That spiritual nap happiness that goes on increasing unlimitedly forever. But I challenge you to find any balloon in this material world that can keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. There is no balloon here that can do that. I don't care how powerful it is and how big it is. Even the USA balloon. You see? There comes a point when it gets too big. And pow, it bursts. You see? You see? So it's a great opportunity to preach. It's a very enlivening thing for a preacher to see things like this happen. Wow, now my preaching is so much easier. It's a fantastic opportunity. But aren't you afraid about your eating? How will you eat? If the economy is not booming, how am I going to eat? Eko bahunam yovadadati kaman. Krishna feeds everyone. He doesn't ask, what is it, a boom economy or is it a depression going on? Krishna doesn't have to worry about the economy. He just keeps feeding everybody.
Krishna дали има бум на економиката или економиката в депресия, той хвърля всички.
He has unlimited power to feed everybody, no problem.
Той има безгранични сили да храни всеки.
He doesn't have to worry about the value of the dollar versus the yen. He just keeps feeding everyone as a loving father. That's all. Next question.
I have several questions again.
Just give me one at a time.
Should I say in Bulgarian?
Yeah, say in Bulgarian first.
Първият ми въпрос е свързан с най-първият ми въпрос. Добре, ние само това ли правим? Трансцендентираме тези четири дейности и трансцендентираме нещо друго? Не добавяме ли към тези неща, ние добавяме ли нещо?
Okay.
Ядене, спане, самосвитие и размножаване, като ние ядем пресадам и така нататък. В смисъл, просто път. So, about this four principles of material existence, four activities in material existence. The sleeping, eating, mating, and
eating. Yes, yes.
So you explained how we transcend those, how we make them transcendental. But is that all we do? We only make this transcendental, or we add something more to that?
Do we add?
Yeah.
We add something else? Yes. Of course. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
You eat, sleep, mate, and defend, and whatever is most favorable for your Krishna consciousness. But your main activity is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting about Krishna. How much was Pariksit Maharaj worried about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? He simply sat and heard Bhagavatam, that's all. So what time is the Bhagavatam class in the morning?
We haven't decided yet.
Well, let's decide right now so we can tell everyone. So what's the best time to have it then? The decision? No decision yet?
No.
What are the choices? What time? What's the best time to have class tomorrow? Narada Muni?
6:30 or 8?
6:30 till 8?
Yes.
6:30 or 8? What's better for everybody here? How many of you come at 6:30 and how many come at 8 o'clock? Let's see the 6:30 hands. Who would like to have it at 6:30? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, and what about 8? Now raise your hand only once.
Oh.
Now, if you'll come either way?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. The best way is to say, well, let's see here. No, the 8 o'clock again?
6:30, this class will be very short because darshan will be...
Huh?
6:30,
What time is the darshan?
I think
7:30. It's all right, an hour class in the morning is okay. All right, so we'll have it for 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow morning in Bhagavatam class. 6:30, you want to be, everyone try to be here at 6:30 if at all possible.
Huh? I'll be here anyway, but I believe that for most people, it will be...
You think 8 is better?
That's my opinion.
But they have to, how many people will come at 8 o'clock tomorrow? Let's count. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And how many at 6:30? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a draw.
So we can have 2 classes tomorrow morning.
Have 2 classes. That's the spirit. I can give one and Mataji will give the other. Guru Mata will give the other one. So how will we decide, how will we finally set this up? Mataji, you tell us. 6:30 or 8?
Well, last time also we were trying to have it at 6:30, but it's the only one at 2 p.m. here.
What works out the best?
Can I say, it depends on who goes to work and cannot come.
How many people would have to miss the 8 o'clock class because of going to work in the morning? Let's see a show of hands. There's one. There's 2. There's 3. There's 4. And how many people would miss the 6:30 because it's too early in the morning? None. How many people miss 6:30 because it's too early to get up for them? They can't get their sleepy head out of the bed in the morning.
4:30.
I think we'll encourage early rising because, you know, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that way Bhakti Evo can come for class, you see. So we'll have it at 6. I want to have it at 6:30. Everyone should learn to rise early, not to sleep like a dog, you know.
Huh? Or a cat.
Or a cat, or a dog, you know, whatever. So 6:30 a.m.? Those who want the full nectar should.
No, but I said those who really raise their hand for 6:30, they should be here.
That's right. All the 6:30 vadis must be here now. You've raised your hand. For you, we are doing. Now you must specificate. And Narada Muni has invited everyone for Mangal Arati at 4:30, and I'm also standing by his invitation. No, we can have a whisper kirtan.
Okay.
If we have a big crowd here, we'll just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Don't worry, everyone's welcome at 4:30. We can pack the place at 4:30 a.m. No problem. Okay then, so we'll stop here and we thank everyone very much for attending tonight the Bhagavad Gita as it is class. Raja Vidrashimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Akshar Prabhu ki jai.